So the last couple of days, I've been doing the daily videos, the daily communion messages, and really over these last couple of days, like I said, as I've started to record more frequently, it's like God's shown up more and more. We talk often about this unlimited, inexhaustible supply of everything that God has. And the more we tap into it, the more we flow, the more it flows. And I've been seeing that happen. We've been talking a lot about this idea since we talked last week about this idea of being established. Last week we talked about in Ephesians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says he prays that the people would be rooted and established in love, rooted and established in love. And that word established means to be firm, it means to be fixed, it means to be consistent. You think about a tree that's established. It means it's not going to be destroyed by a little bit of drought or a little bit of heat or a windstorm. Those trees are solid, they're rooted, they're established. You could say they're steadfast, like we've talked about God's steadfast love and us becoming more steadfast and immovable or being established. And we've been talking about over the last several days this idea of Deuteronomy chapter 7. God says he's given the people a covenant of love. He's given us this covenant of love with him, and it's already been established. I believe God's established it. He's committed or obligated himself that he's going to do that. He's already made the commitment in his heart that I'm going to love these people. He is love. And he's made the commitment that even when we mess up, even when we do wrong, we're going to get grace and mercy and love. We're going to get steadfast love. We're going to get unfailing love from him. And he's made that commitment in this covenant that he's given us. And then I think we have a part to play in that we got to get this covenant of love. We got to get this covenant of love rooted and established in our own hearts. We have to get this covenant of love rooted and established in our own hearts, leading to us becoming more steadfast and immovable in this covenant. So if you look at, for example, Psalms 112, it says that when the person's heart is established, when it's fixed or steady or established, it says that the person has no fear. No matter what's going on around them, when they are established, when their hearts are established in love, they have no fear. You think about the scripture that says, in perfect love, there's no fear. When we have this covenant of love, we get rooted and established in this covenant of love. It leads to this place of having no fear. And we talked about earlier this morning, the video that I did this morning, when we get to this place where we have we're established in our hearts, we have no fear, all of a sudden this faith begins to rise up in us. Faith begins to rise up into more bold, more confident actions, more steps of faith, following those nudges, those types of things. Faith begins to rise up. And we said before, like the money is in the mouth. All of a sudden it changes the way we speak to situations. It changes the way we respond to situations and these types of things. But God's given us this covenant of love. He's already established it, and we have a role to play in getting established in our hearts in that love and letting his love flow through us to other people. And then I was reading this morning in Proverbs. I've been on this idea of getting rooted and established, and I was on this morning reading Proverbs chapter 25, and it says that through righteousness, a ruler's throne is established. This connection between righteousness and being established. And we're going to read here in Isaiah chapter 54. It's going to say here in Isaiah chapter 54, in righteousness, you will be established. Righteousness is another key. And we're going to see in this chapter, Isaiah 54 tonight, also it talks about not only is it a covenant of love, but God says, I'm going to give them a covenant of peace. And there's a connection between righteousness and peace as well. There's a big connection between righteousness and peace, because when we're right with God, we have peace with him. But let's get started with prayer, and then we'll dive into this scriptures a little bit here. But Heavenly Father, I just pray for all of us that are here tonight, those that will be watching the replay, all of our families, our friends, those connected to us, and all of our church and governmental leaders. And Lord, we just thank you for releasing us from the darkness, for transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear son. And we just thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And Father, we just keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better. We would know you more and more. And that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us. and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us, and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, we ask you to bless us and to bless our time here together tonight. Let us all come away with practical things that we can implement, along with feeling encouraged and inspired and enlightened all at the same time. And we ask you to expand our borders and our territory, expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace and all that you want to do in our lives, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. And I ask you to help our love to grow and to abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, and to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And as we do, Lord, stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain, through the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So, getting our hearts established. One of the things that we talked about over the last couple of weeks is this idea of meditation. Meditation, I believe, is one of the things that can help to get our hearts to be established in love, to be established in this righteousness that we're going to be talking about tonight. God has given us the righteousness of Jesus. The righteousness of Jesus has been given to us as a gift. And when we take communion tonight, that cracker that we take is a symbol of his righteousness. We're going to be established in his righteousness, and his righteousness endures forever. His righteousness is not good one moment, bad the next. His righteousness remains the same. His righteousness is steady. His righteousness is steadfast and fixed and established. And when we put our hope and our trust and our faith in his righteousness rather than our own, it helps us to get our own hearts established as well, I think. But I want to look at Isaiah 54. So we're actually going to read the whole chapter here of Isaiah 54. There's a lot of good stuff in Isaiah chapter 54. But I'm going to start just in verse 1 of Isaiah 54. And here's what it says. It says, "Sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child. Burst into song and shout for joy, you who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide and do not hold back. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Do not be afraid. You'll not suffer shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth." So God wants to roll away our past. I don't know if you guys saw it, but I did, felt God was leading me to do it. I did a communion meditation a few days ago. If you go to the abundantlifetrainingcenter.com and you go onto the blog, you'll see a communion meditation for forgetting troubles or forgetting like painful memories. If you have any painful type of memories where you have triggers, certain words, sounds, places, names, who knows, whatever, that are triggers that cause you to remember things you don't want to remember sometimes. If you have triggers for that, there's a special communion meditation that I recorded a few days ago on one of the daily videos on the blog. It's also for you guys that are have your membership portal. It's in there under the toolbox now. And it is very powerful, I think. Just for my own sake, I had a few things just from the past, just some triggers, some things that would just trigger memories that I didn't want always stirring up in my mind. And I felt God was nudging me to do that. That's where it started from. And sure enough, I can still remember some of those things, but the pain and the whatever associated with it is not the same. Something shifted when I did that. So if you want to go back and look at that, if you have some of those, it says God will make you forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of the past. For your maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your redeemer. He's called the God of all the earth. The Lord will call you back as if you were a wife deserted and distressed in spirit. A wife who married young only to be rejected, says your God. For a brief moment I abandon you, but with deep compassion I will bring you back. In a surge of anger, so God had a surge of anger. His anger only lasts for a moment, it says. He's very slow to anger. Takes a lot to get him to that point. And then his anger only lasts for a moment. He had a surge of anger. He says, I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness, I will have compassion on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. To me, this is like the days of Noah. This is God speaking. To me, this is like the days of Noah, when I swore that the waters of Noah would never again cover the earth. So now have I sworn not to be angry with you, never to rebuke you again. God's sworn to never be angry with you. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken. That's that idea of being established, being fixed, being steadfast. His unfailing love won't be shaken. Nothing you can do can shake it where he won't love you, that he's going to break this covenant. And he says, nor my covenant of peace be removed from you. Nothing you can do will make this covenant of love and this covenant of peace be removed from you. O afflicted city, lashed by storms and not comforted, I will build you with stones. Notice we often talk about God does not build with bricks. Bricks are all the same and they're made by man. They're made by putting pressure on them to conform to a mold. God builds with stones. I will build you with stones of turquoise, your foundations with sapphires, and I will make your battlements of rubies, your gates of sparkling jewels, and all of your walls with precious stones. All of your sons will be taught by the Lord, and great will be your children's peace. So that verse right there, I had been praying about what to do with our kids for school for the upcoming year. I'd had the nudge that God maybe wanted us to start homeschooling them and actually start taking them through the curriculum that we have for this program and doing it a little bit more formally. And to start taking them through that. But I wasn't sure yet. I hadn't really gotten the go-ahead. And one night I was getting ready to lay down to go to bed. And all of a sudden I hear this just coming up in my spirit. It says, all of your children will be taught by the Lord and great will be their peace. And it just started repeating over and over on the inside of me. And I knew it was a scripture, but I didn't know which one. So I Googled it and found this, Isaiah 54. All of your sons, all of your children will be taught by the Lord and great will be their peace. And then as I was doing that, God began to download curriculum of things to teach them, some things in science, some things in math, some other things to be teaching them and guiding them through some of the normal curriculum as well. And then it says this in verse 14, in righteousness, you will be established. Right after that verse about your children. In righteousness, you'll be established. Tyranny will be far from you and you will have nothing to fear. Again, when we're established, we're firm, we're fixed, and we're established in our hearts that God's covenant of love, his covenant of peace, when we understand that. A couple days ago, might have been yesterday, I did a video on Proverbs chapter 24. By wisdom, a house is built. Through understanding, it is established. Understanding what? Understanding God's covenant of love, God's covenant of peace. He's got unfailing love for you, steadfast love for you. When we understand that and we're established, and it comes through the righteousness of Jesus, not through our own righteousness. Tyranny will be far from you. You will have nothing to fear. Terror will be far removed, and it will not come near you. If anyone does attack you, it will not be my doing. Whoever attacks you will surrender to you. We've talked about before, God always causes you to triumph. See, it is I who created the blacksmith, who fans the coals into flame and forges a weapon fit for its work. And it is I who have created the destroyer to work havoc. No weapon forged against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. So you've got some pretty amazing promises just in this Isaiah 54. This would be a good passage of scripture to begin to go into here and begin to meditate this, begin to read it a few times, begin to go over it, begin to recite it, to begin to rehearse it, talking about God's unfailing love, his covenant of peace, that you would have no fear, that you would be established. all of these amazing promises just in this chapter here. So we've been given this righteousness of Jesus. It was a free gift. Righteousness of Jesus, free gift. And it means our righteousness is based on what he did, not on our own works. So in Romans 10:3, it says that the people were ignorant of the righteousness of God, and they sought to establish their own righteousness, and they did not submit to God's righteousness. So they sought to get established in their own righteousness, in their own works, in their own self-righteousness. They sought to get established in that. In righteousness, in God's righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus, that's how we get established. Isaiah 32:17 says, and the effect of righteousness. What does righteousness do? The effect of righteousness is peace. And the result of righteousness is quietness and trust forever. So I'm going to read, this is coming from, I know I'm throwing a lot of scriptures at you right this second. This is coming from 1 Peter chapter 5. This is the Amplified version. And I'm going to read a good chunk of this one as well. It says, therefore, I strongly urge, so the subtitle of this chapter, 1 Peter chapter 5 in the Amplified, is serve God willingly. It's about doing what? Doing what you know to do and doing it with a good attitude. Serve God willingly, not under compulsion because you have to, but because you want to, because you desire to do something to honor him. It says, therefore, I strongly urge the elders among you, pastors, spiritual leaders of the church, as a fellow elder and as an eyewitness called to testify of the sufferings of Christ, as well as one who shares in the glory to be revealed, shepherd and guide and protect the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily. So do it, not because you have to, but voluntarily, willingly, according to the will of God, and not motivated for shameful gain, but with wholehearted enthusiasm, not lording it over those assigned to your care. Do not be arrogant or overbearing, but be examples of Christian living to the flock. Set a pattern of integrity for your congregation. And when the chief shepherd, Christ, appears, you'll receive the conqueror's unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you younger men of lesser rank and experience, be subject to your elders, seek their counsel, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Tie on the servant's apron, for God is opposed to the proud, the disdainful, the presumptuous, and he defeats them, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Set aside self-righteous pride so that he may exalt you to a place of honor in his service at the appropriate time. Casting all of your cares, all of your anxieties, all of your worries, and all of your concerns once and for all on him, for he cares about you with deepest affection and watches over you very carefully. Be sober, be well balanced, and self-disciplined. I like that one. Be sober, be well balanced, and be self-disciplined. Be alert and cautious at all times, that your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, fiercely hungry, seeking someone to devour. But resist him. Be firm in your faith against his attack. Be rooted and established and immovable. So resist him, being firm in your faith against his attack. Be rooted, established, and immovable, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being experienced by your brothers and sisters throughout the world. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who imparts his blessing and favor, who called you to his own eternal glory in Christ, will himself complete, confirm, strengthen, and establish you, making you what you ought to be. To him be dominion, power, authority, sovereignty, forever and ever. Amen. So we see the word established a couple times. So when these storms of life come, could be attacks, could be storms of life, says Isaiah, having no fear. Psalms 112 says, when these things come and our hearts are established, we have no fear. No fear of bad news, it says in Psalms 112. That we are established in righteousness. We're established our hearts are established, that we've been given this gift of righteousness because of Jesus. So we're going to take communion here. And every time we take communion, like we talk about, we come to it with holy awe and reverence and honor and respect for God and for Jesus and what they did for us. And this bread is a reminder of the righteousness of Jesus. It's a reminder of his sinless body. It's without leaven. It's without sin. He was righteous. And through his righteousness, we've been given this gift of access into grace, access into this covenant of love, covenant of peace with God, because of his righteousness. And that righteousness has been credited to us through faith. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Believing him, and then he had, it says works, when he offered up Isaac, he had works that proved that he believed. His faith was active and alive. And so to walk out our righteousness, we need believing, and then we also need steps, taking the steps that God's showing us to do, to walk that out. We are righteous, but we're also walking out that righteousness. God's empowering us to walk in a different way. And so every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus that does away with the old, brings in the new. Jesus was made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And it's a reminder to transition to the new, to put on the new man, and to walk that out every day. And walking it out, not because we have to, out of honor and respect and reverence and willingly, because God loves a cheerful giver, doing it to honor him. So Heavenly Father, we thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So if you have your bread, you can take your bread. Then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, this new covenant of love, receiving this steadfast love from God, letting it flow through us to love other people, this covenant of peace that comes from the righteousness of Jesus. When we have peace with God, that means God's on our side. We have his blessing, we have his favor on our lives, and he's looking to do good for us continually, and trusting in that, relying on that, in this covenant that we have, a covenant of love, covenant of peace with him. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this cup and what it represents, and we ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. So every time we take communion, communion's like an activator, releasing the old, activating the new. Communion can change the trajectory. It can turn the tables and change the trajectory of situations in life, but of our whole life, I believe, change the whole trajectory of our whole life. But one of the things, after we take communion, it's like a point of contact where things turn. But after we take communion, it's important that we walk it out. We have to follow through. Imagine hitting a golf ball, a tennis ball, a baseball, whatever, and you just hit it and you stopped right there. We got to follow through. How do we follow through? Walk in love. Walk in love. Walk in this righteousness. Walk knowing and trusting that I'm good with God. I'm righteous and in a right standing with God because of Jesus, because of what he did. Walking in that and then receiving his love that comes because of his righteousness. This love of God that comes through this righteousness. Grace reigns through righteousness, it tells us. Those that receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life, it says. I think it's 1 Corinthians maybe 5. We got to walk it out. We got to follow through. Keep walking in love. Keep doing what you know to do and doing it with a good attitude. Keep doing those things consistently. And if you slip up, yes, there's always grace. You get right back. you receive your forgiveness, and you turn, you get right back going, and you keep moving forward again from there. But I'm going to open it up, and we can discuss a little bit and see what's coming to mind for you guys.